soon to a...
A man has seen every... Hell comes to Huntsville.
Welcome to what is sure to be a very gory, very gooey episode of Hell Comes to Huntsville. Our discussion of 31 horror movies in 31 days. Today we are on day number 12. And we are going to be talking about Reanimator. My name is Jack Spade. Across from me, Leanne Foster. We are the crew, the team, the duo, the hell buddies.
I don't think only two can be a crew or a team.
Sure, hell can.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's true or not, but
I was going to let you defend your argument. And
let's see, how many people are on a team of podcasters? At least two. That's a team. Boom.
Okay.
Huntsville Home Video, son. New episodes every Monday where I introduce Leanne to a movie that she's never seen, and we talk about it, and we have bullshit arguments like the one we just had.
Exactly. Yeah. So they go more in depth.
Uh-huh.
They get more elaborate as you go.
And these Hell Come to Huntsville episodes are much shorter, therefore the arguments have to be quicker.
Rapid fire.
Yeah, rapid fire, condensed. With us on this cinematic horror journey is Marlon Wells from America's Barley Basket. How are you today, good chum?
I am good. I'm enjoying the two of y'all's two-person team. I also, when I heard that two can't be a crew, I immediately thought of two live crew, which definitely has more than two people, but I think qualifies.
Yeah, it's more than two, but not like more than five.
That's not the argument I made. I didn't make less than five. I said more than two. I said only two.
Is there a ceiling on crew? Like, at what point does a crew become a squad? Like, is Slipknot a crew or is Slipknot a squad?
That's a good question, fellow Slipknot fan, Leanne. Like, what is that there?
Slipknot squad sounds better than Slipknot crew. Slipknot squad, because you got the S's. I kind of like squad. I'm going to say nine's a squad.
Nine's a squad.
Okay.
Eight's a crew. Nine's a squad. Oh, no, wait. How many monsters were in Monster Squad? They were a squad.
Well, you had Sean, you had Derek, you had Rudy, you had technically Phoebe the Phoeb.
Yeah.
She was in there. You know, so like a five.
Horace.
Five?
Horace, yeah.
Six. Five or six. Okay, so that's a five turns into a crew.
Y'all want to talk about Monster Squad again?
No.
Absolutely not. No. Nope. Never again.
That was a firm no.
Marlon, don't disappoint your mother. She listens to this podcast and loves Monster Squad. And
my mother, much like me, is one of these, well, takes all sorts. You like what you like, dum-de-dum, and goes about her day. Like, that's where I get that from. That's why I don't have a lot of hard stances. I've been told in dating contexts, you're not fun to argue with. It's like, yeah, that sounds awful. Why would I do that?
Yes, because I know when I'm in a committed relationship, all I like to do is argue.
What? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
What? I like you don't want to argue? Oh my God! Put a ring on this finger.
Some folks like to fight, and again, it takes all sorts. Dum de dum de dum. On with my day.
I'll argue over the stupidest shit. That's what I want to argue over, like a crew or a squad.
<All right. laughs>
That's what I want to argue about. Big decisions, no problem. But set me off on a how many's in a team? Oh, you stupid fuck!
Yo, bitch.
Do you think you should be using a slatted spoon for that dish? You motherfucker. Push it on the floor.
That's no joke. I am who I am. I'll argue the fuck over a spoon.
Oh my God. Let's argue about the Reanimator. Let's see how we feel about this.
Uh-huh.
Now let's start it out. Now, Leanne, now normally on Huntsville Home Video, we talk about movies you have not seen.
Right.
Reanimator is a movie that you have seen.
Yes.
What did you, was it one that you've seen recently?
No, it's been a while since, I've only seen it once before.
Okay.
And it's been a while, at least probably maybe a year, at least a year. I probably watched it around Halloween this time because I think we had gotten on a conversation about it And I think it was one of my Halloween viewings, so probably been a year. And I love how insane this movie is.
Right?
I love it. It is just weird and odd and icky. And like you said, gooey is the perfect word for it, and gross. And I am all about it.
Some great splatter in this movie.
Great splatter. Great weird shit. We got bodies without heads. We got heads in pans. It's fantastic.
All right.
So, loved it.
So there's Leanne's quick take on Reanimator. Marlon Wells, a first timer to the Reanimator crew.
You bitch.
What did you think of the film?
This is not usually my thing. I'm not a big slasher person. I'm not a big splatter person. It's one of those movies, like, it took me about a half hour to, like, get on board with it. Like, all right, Marlon, you're going to have to let go of a lot of things that you, like, think and feel about movies and how they should be and just enjoy the ride. And eventually I came to, like, a middle ground. Like, there's enough here for me to enjoy. I will never watch it again, but I get why people like it. I totally see its appeal to the people who are fans of this kind of thing. As far as this kind of thing goes, it's a pretty good one of those.
It's a pretty good one of those. I like it.
It's a pretty good version of a thing that I don't really care for.
That goes on the back of the DVD box.
Yep. That is 100% the review for this one. As far as things of this sort, which I don't much care for, this was all right. I will say, in addition to, you know, the effects, the wackiness, the over-the-top weirdness, the thing that I most love about this movie is motherfucking Jeffrey Combs.
Oh, my God. I knew you were going to suck on his wiener eventually.
You damn right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Dude's awesome. Fuck you. I like what I like.
He is outstanding in this movie. He is so good in this movie. Like, he's the brightest spot in this whole thing, for sure, is him and his, like, manic but weaselly but super smart but also a fucking complete sociopath. Like, he keeps all of those plates spinning all at once every time he's on screen, and it's, like, impressive. Like,
yeah.
I watched this movie and I was just like, man, good for this dude.
You're like, wait, is he the villain, or is he now he's the hero. It's like, what is going on here?
You don't know how to feel about him. I sometimes feel a certain way and then I don't, and I'm like, good for you, you've got something. Because we talked about earlier how we have no passion for nothing. Like, we don't give a fuck, we're gonna let it go, we're gonna let the argument go. But, like, he knows it, and he's gonna make this thing and do it, and he's motivated, and, like, it's like, oh, good for you. And then it's like, oh, but you're a fuck, like, you know, it's like, right? You just don't know how to feel about him, and I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that dude. Like him as an actor. Like, he, you know, he does a lot of voiceover work. He was in a movie that we watched almost at the beginning of this podcast, Leanne, of Huntsville on Video, The Frighteners.
Yes.
He was Dahmer's in that one. He was super weird, over the top, creepy, and the dude has just made a good career of that.
I bet he's the nicest guy ever and so good at being weird.
Absolutely is.
It's usually how they are.
I've met him at a convention.
Of course.
You fucking nerd.
Dweeb.
But yes, he was one of the nicer, sweeter dudes I've met in the realm of, like, because you get some actors who are in, you know, they're known for movies like this or of a genre like mm-hmm. this. And they attract a certain fan base, you know, and some of those people are dicks to their fans. Some of those people are just dicks in general. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Combs, super cool cat.
Well, good.
Liked him.
I'm glad.
Now, Marlon, you said this wasn't your type of jam, not your type of flick. That being said, you still enjoyed it. Was there something about this movie that made it more enjoyable than other films like this that you do not like?
I honestly, Jeffrey Combs' performance is outstanding, but you can usually find one good performance in any of these, like, mid-80s bloodfest kind of movies. I really liked the premise. I like the kind of modern Frankenstein take that this movie kind of has going for it. On the other side, the negative, Dan sucks dick. Fuck this guy. Every time Dan is on screen, I'm like, get Jeffrey Combs back in here because I can't look at your dumb fucking face. Especially at the end when he's like, oh, Dan, this fucking guy who's been led by the nose like a little bitch throughout this entire movie, now he's the fucking white tank top fucking Kurt Russell in Little China action guy. Fucking get out of here with this garbage.
Yeah, that's a fair critique. That is fair.
Mm-hmm. And his, like, the entirety of the movie, like, everything he does, I'm just like, God, you're so fucking dumb. Like, from Herbert West just shoving money in his face to get the apartment that he does not want to lend him, and he just goes with it. Fucking within the first half an hour, Herbert West straight up murders his cat. If you came to my home and murdered my cat, like, you are at the very least out in the streets. I might whoop your ass. Like, I'm probably gonna whoop your ass. You murder my fucking cat. Get out of here. There's a lot of cat violence in the first half of this movie that got me a little hot. Got me a little hot.
And man, this isn't even the first time you've had to deal with aggression towards cats in this month.
I know. We're dealing with a lot of feline violence, and I'm not into it.
Stop human on feline violence.
That's my bumper sticker. You've seen it.
Now I have to start making mental notes when we make suggestions of horror movies for the rest of the month. I'm like, wait, did they kill a cat in that one?
That's the first question to be asked.
I think twice already in a month is going to set our boy off. Like, three times, I don't want to know.
Like, there's that website, Does the Dog Die? I think it's doesthedogdie.com, where you can search the name of a movie and it will tell you whether or not the dog dies. I don't know if there's a cat one, but there should be.
No shit. I didn't even know about the dog website.
Oh yeah. That's a thing.
Oh my God.
Apparently that's also a real fucking triggering thing for people, is if a dog dies in a movie.
Well, it hurts.
Yeah, that's true. I think the ratio on this is two dog people to one cat people.
Yeah, but we're the same, y'all. We're all in the same. We understand each other's feelings. So like, we all get it.
Yep.
And this same cat has to die twice in this movie.
Wait, at doesthedogdie.com, there's a way to filter for cat? And so, like, now it's just listing all the things where cats die. It's like Stranger Things, episode 4, season 2. It shows a cat being eaten. 5 kittens die in episode 2 of Haunting of Hill House. Shape of Water. The Office. Dwight kills Angela's cat. No shit. Fascinating.
So there you go. There is a cat version of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that they made space for the cat lovers of the world too.
I love that cat killing scene though. I'm not even gonna lie. I love that shit when he goes down to the basement and that thing's on his back and it is obviously just a stuffed animal and he is writhing around. It's so fantastic.
I was rooting for the cat. I was like, fucking get him, Rufus. Fucking fuck that dude up. Creepy little shit. Get him.
So, Marlon, hearing how amped up Leanne was for that scene, what does that make you think of her as a person?
It's not because the cat was dead. It was just a fun scene. No?
Right, yes. I understood that. I got what she was saying.
He got my nuance.
Damn, me trying to part you guys down the middle. Some bitch didn't work.
You're just jelly. Mm-hmm. You just sit over there and you be peanut butter and jelly and you just let us talk.
Fine. Fine. I will.
I can see a wedge coming a mile away, dog. I don't
mean
it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Speaking to your point about, like, the convention scene that so many of, you know, I'm sure Jeffrey Combs does it. I'm sure, you know, so many of these people who are in these cult classic genre movies, especially sci-fi or horror, end up on the convention circuit, sitting at a folding table, selling photos and autographs. I feel bad for Barbara Crampton, because I have zero doubt in my head, because she didn't go on to do a whole hell of a lot. I'm sure Reanimator is the thing she's known for, right?
For the most part, yeah.
I envision her sitting at a folding table with a Sharpie, just being inundated by fucking nerds just being like, I sure like when you got your titties out in Reanimator. That was my favorite. I loved it a lot back in 80 whatever. And I bet that she is just like, because I bet she gets hit with that all the time.
Oh, yeah. There are definitely, and usually when I go to conventions like this, a lot of times I have Rachel with me, and we kind of sit back and she'll make comments. She's like, thank you for not being that type of nerd. And like, she doesn't even need to point out the nerd. Like, you can immediately spot it. It's just like, oh, there's a dude with an 8x10 printed out on his home computer of Barbara Crampton from Reanimator with a prosthetic reanimated zombie head being pushed down into her crotch.
Yeah.
I bet she loves signing that in 2021.
Ugh, yeah. I was like, by the end of this movie, I was like, oh, I hope you had a good career after this, because if not, I bet you deal with a lot of sad boys.
Yeah. And imagine that in 1985, you know, you're a young actress, you're trying to make your way in Hollywood, and you're like, yeah, we want to sexually assault you with a zombie head. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's a weird first meeting. Well, we've added some things to the script that we sent you. You're going to want to sit down. Have a seat.
Oh, is this lunch paid for? Is this on the studio? No, you gotta pay for lunch, too.
And speaking of lunch, you're going to want to cut back on the breadsticks, because we're going to have you be naked for quite a bit of this movie.
Yeah. How do you feel about prosthetic zombie head rape? You on board for that? You cool with that? No?
It's my favorite Cannibal Corpse album. The album artwork is horrifying, but the music's pretty good.
Yeah. Ultimately, that's all that matters. Is the music good? Cool. Leanne, we've established that you're not much of a reader.
Yeah, we've established that.
Marlon, you're well-read. You're learned. And a fan of the H.P. Lovecraft, were you aware that this was kind of loosely based on an H.P. Lovecraft character?
I did know that, and I had not. I haven't read the story that this character comes from, but I did know that this had the H.P. Lovecraft name emblazoned upon it before the movie started. So I gotta find it. I have several, I'm looking at them now. I have several very large H.P. Lovecraft compilations, but that dude is a hard read, man. Like, A, you got to deal with some real, I'm going to politely say, dodgy takes on race from H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's all written in turn of the century parlance that is not immediately translatable to modern English. And on top of all that, he uses a lot of cultural references at the time where it's like, I gotta, if I'm reading Lovecraft, I gotta have my phone in my other hand being like, all right, who the fuck is this senator he's making fun of? Why do I give a shit about this Massachusetts mayor that he's bringing into this story for no reason? It's a chore.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of fans of Reanimator back in the 80s when they're like, they found out, oh, this is based on a thing, on a story, on a book. I'm going to go read this. And then they go and try to read it, and they're like, oh, no, I can't read this. This is, nope, I'm just going to watch titties.
It's the way a lot of people feel about, like, when you read Shakespeare. It's like, boy, y'all talked super different back then, and I'm having troubles.
I need my Lovecraft translator, y'all.
This is why I don't read. This is a prime example. Y'all just keep going on.
You're not selling the reading thing, guys.
You're really not hitting it home for me at all.
I mean, I'm not gonna try to sell you reading. If you've gotten this far without picking up a fucking book, I ain't gonna be the one to change your mind.
I mean, you know, I read books in high school.
So precious.
I read your standard.
So let's move away from the printed word. Let's get into the moving pictures. Leanne.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the sequels to Reanimator?
No, I've only seen this twice.
Now you like the movie. You like the character. Would you pursue the sequels?
I might. I'm a little interested in it. I'm curious how wacky it gets. And they're like Bride of Reanimator, and is that the next one?
And then Beyond Reanimator.
Yeah. Yeah. They're available to me for free, and so I might have to check them out.
There you go. And, mm-hmm. and you'd be down for that?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Marlon, probably not so much.
Nah, I'm good.
You're good. You're good here.
If there's no more cats, it's okay.
I don't trust it. I don't trust it at all.
Well, if you go to dogsdon'tdie.com and, right. and you switch the filter to cats.
Yep, you're right. I'll have to preemptively check that website.
Yep, there it is.
I'm done with cat murder.
I'm going to try to find a cat murder movie to just slip it in.
Jesus. Damn.
That's fucked up.
Cold as ice. That is fucked up.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you.
Can you tell we're friends? Now I'm thinking about the movie that we're deciding on for tomorrow, and I'm trying to like mentally think. I'm like, is there cat murder?
Are there cats? We need to watch. Somebody needs to watch it beforehand. Yeah. Like, we got to preemptively watch. I'll clear it.
I'll just text a friend. Hey, could you watch these five movies before we watch these five movies, just to let me know if there's any cat death in here?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Good strategy.
I'm with it. We're looking out for you, Marlon.
I didn't even bring up that there's an after credit stinger in Slither where, it turns out the needle monster that was in Blue Merle is still alive and it sticks a fucking cat.
Forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's three movies now.
Ooh.
This month.
Sorry. We really didn't try to do that. It's not our fault. It's the director's fault.
I mean,
the writer's fault. They're the one who made it a cat.
That's right. Clearly, their stance on cat murder, need to get with the program in 2021.
They're the ones who are fucked up, not us.
It is a societal problem.
Yep. I just need a Hell Comes to Huntsville commercial set to Sarah McLachlan's Arms of the Angel, but like, hey, don't kill cats in your horror movies. Don't kill dogs.
My brain was already there.
That is why we get along so swimmingly, my friend. Well, let's wrap up Reanimator here and send it home with some closing thoughts. Leanne, what was your overall take on your second viewing of the Reanimator?
Love it. Just as icky, just as fun. It's just a super fun, gross movie, which I'm totally down for. And I will give it 3.5. I'll give it 3.5.
It's respectable. Marlon mm-hmm. Wells taking the cat murder off the table. What did you think about Reanimator?
I think the character of Herbert West is played super great. I think that Jeffrey Combs fella absolutely kills it. This movie is gross. just buckets of 80s blood. We know how much Leanne likes that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like some of the real bonkers design choices, like the glowing green reanimation liquid is so cheesy. This is pretty good cheese. I'm not usually a big fan of like 80s murder cheese, but this is pretty decent 80s murder mm-hmm. cheese. I get its appeal. It's a good one of those things that I don't really care for. 3 out of 5.
To a certain extent, I kind of agree with Marlon that in the realm of like cheesy 80s splatter flicks, you do definitely have some that are better than others. Mm-hmm. I think this one kind of transcends everything else.
Yep.
I think a large part of that is the character of Herbert West. I think he's amazing, partially in part to Jeffrey Combs' portrayal. I love the aesthetic. I love the over-the-top wackiness of it. I love how the sequels don't really ever tie together.
Spoilers
on that.
Hmm.
They just kind of go off and do their own thing, but still, you know, keep the character the same or whatever, keep his research going. But I really love this movie. This movie, to me, came at a time when I saw it like I did so many movies back in the day, like on home video. I saw the cover sitting at a video store in North Dakota, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? I want to get this and invite all my friends over and be grossed out. And that's what we do.
It's a fantastic cover.
It is a fantastic cover. And it was...
makes for a great poster.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, that was pretty much how you picked movies back in the day. They say you can't judge a book by its cover. Leanne, you know nothing about that. but sometimes you can absolutely judge a movie by its cover. And that's what we would do back in the day. We're like, ooh, this looks gross. Let's get this. And it was great. I vividly remember watching this for the first time on home video with like three buddies at a sleepover. One of them threw up. Couldn't handle the grossness.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, this same buddy, years later in high school, when we were talking about health ed, sex ed, fainted at some of the graphic.
Oh, come on. What a pussy.
That's what I'm saying.
Get out of here, you bitch.
Real delicate boy.
I know. I don't even want to think about what happened the first time he saw a real vagina. Oh, God.
I got the vapors. Where's the vaping couch?
So, yeah, going back to a movie like this, it definitely brings back some of those nostalgic feels. And the fact that it still holds up, I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. This was a fun movie to rewatch. I go 3.75 out of 5.
Nice.
Yeah.
We're all in the threes.
Yeah.
I like it.
We're in the threes.
We're in the threes, baby.
Much like our podcast, we are all average.
Three. Pretty much.
So tomorrow, Hell Comes to Huntsville keeps on a trucking. Leanne, you got a bit preemptive yesterday. You wanted that Kurt Russell.
Do I get him tomorrow?
Let's give you Kurt Russell tomorrow.
Yeah!
I believe this tomorrow's a movie we're going to be talking about that neither, like the three of us have not seen.
Mm-mm. I haven't seen it.
Marlon?
Nope, me neither.
All right, so we're going in blind to Bone Tomahawk.
Mm-hmm.
A very well-regarded Western horror hybrid movie that I know very little about other than I wanted to see it. When it came out back in 2015, I don't think it ever came to theaters where we were at. I think I was in North Dakota at the time. Marlon, it didn't come to our town, did it?
I don't think so. Like, I remember the first time I heard of Bone Tomahawk was, oh, it's on Netflix finally. Like, I never saw a trailer, never saw a nothing. This movie just appeared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll go into that one tomorrow. See how that one turns out. Bone Tomahawk on day number 13. Lucky number 13.
Oh, my.
For a spooky season podcast review. So we'll chat about that tomorrow. In the meantime, give a like, a follow, a subscribe to Huntsville Home Video on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at
HSV Home Video.
And you can also follow along on the exploits of Springfield on The Simpsons while you're listening to America's Barley Basket. And you can also find out what it was like growing up in small town North Dakota with our guests Marlon Wells and Nathan Folsebach, the other host of that show. Marlon, where can the good listeners find you guys?
Anywhere you listen to podcasts, anywhere you're listening to this show, you can listen to our show. It is America's Barley Basket. We are on the social medias at Twitter, Facegram. Yeah. Twitter, God, I've never felt so old. Oh, you got the face grams?
Time catches us all, you son of a bitch.
Christ on sale. I'm done. I'm going to walk into the prairie, and that will be the end. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Barley Basket USA. Today is Tuesday, meaning hot, steaming fresh episode number 70 of America's Barley Basket is available now. Go enjoy.
Get it on them face grams. Get it on them tick chats.
Instatalks.
Instatalks. You old motherfuckers.
Oh, God. Get on the snap space and give it a star thumb.
Yes. I miss MySpace. I don't care who knows it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like right here, for the world to know, if I had MySpace still, both of y'all in my top 8.
Same here, my friend.
Yeah, that's
what's
up. Same
here, my friends.
Oh, my heart.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Feels good.
All right, y'all. We'll be back chatting Bone Tomahawk tomorrow on Hell Comes to Huntsville. Until then, be kind and rewind.
For less than the price of a cup of coffee, you can prevent cinematography cat murder.
In the arms of the angels.
Oh, this is perfect.
Bravo.
Oh, I pulled something. I blew it out.